you very interestingly mentioned that you personally got involved in looking after the families of those who had been killed. Could you expand
on
that?
Yes, indeed. What happened was late on the Friday night, or maybe on the Saturday, I was asked by my manager to take part in or coordinate, I can't quite remember, but possibly coordinate a process at the Buckland Hospital on the Sunday in which the families would be invited to view the bodies of their loved ones and to provide the support for that. And I was asked to get together a few volunteer staff who'd be prepared to actually do that work with me. I felt rather humbled by this, but on the other hand, I felt that this would be a kind of clearer use of our resource than just sort of hanging about. And that's what I did. I got together two or three volunteers from my own department. There were one or two from the health service as well. And do you want me to describe the process at this stage?
I think it's interesting because we're now talking really about 48 hours on from
what
happened.
We are. What actually happened was that we were asked to work with family groups using probably about three people, and that is one would be a padre, one would be a military liaison officer, and the other would be a social worker stroke psychologist stroke nurse, and that we would assemble with these groups, and we would assemble in different areas of the hospital, just receive them, give them a cup of tea and offer our sympathy, and on an agreed signal take them over to the mortuary. Now that actually wasn't as simple as it might sound, because two reasons. One is each body had to be well prepared for really what was the most awful mess, in a state in which the bodies could be viewed with a degree of dignity through a screen. They had to be correctly identified, did they not? And in order to kind of prepare myself, I came in early and actually went into the mortuary and saw the bodies for myself. And I was full of admiration for a young lad who was a mortuary technician. To my knowledge, he must have been working on his own. And what he was trying to do was to prepare the bodies in a way that was as integral and dignified as possible, bearing in mind that some of the injuries were absolutely horrific. So there was a kind of logistical issue that, you know, all this had to be kind of done in such a way that could be dignified. We didn't, for some reason, I can't remember the families mixing. The other problem was we had a VIP visit from Prince Philip to the hospital at the very time, with journalists around as well. We didn't want the journalists and Prince Philip and the relatives to mix. So there was a bit of kind of cat and mouse going on almost. You know, are the journalists out of the way? Is Prince Philip out of the way? Now we can take the next group over. And anyway, I think the process must have had about seven or eight family groups, I think, who came. Not every family group would have wanted to come. I know one family group wanted very much a Catholic mass, and the priest was able to organise that as well for the relatives. But I remember taking at least two or three groups over, and I remember my particular role was to, I remember a mother just sort of leaning on me and, you know, going over to the mortuary. My memory of the bodies was of something very peaceful. There was this lad who the technician had done his best to present in the most appropriate way possible. His face must have been shot up, but this technician had done a wonderful work job actually, and this lad looked incredibly peaceful. And the mother just cried and cried on my shoulder, and you know, that was my job and that was what I was there for. We probably spent about five minutes there, not a lot longer, and then we came back to the allocated room or whichever it was. I don't know how the hospital managed it, but we came back. And what then happened was that we gave people the opportunity to have a cup of tea, to talk, But my abiding memory is that most of them wanted to go down the pub.
You talked about this particular family. Did you go with each family? Was there a timetable?
Yeah, there was a timetable. So that there was a rota set up. So that 11 o'clock there would be a particular family. The body would be prepared for 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock another one. We, I think, were each given probably two families.
So that we would give...
You know, there would be plenty of time and space if people wanted to talk and have a tea. And there were these various well-meaning volunteers, I think, these WRVS volunteers, who were sort of full of sandwiches and tea. The other logistical issue was that some viewings had to be arranged for girlfriends, partners, I don't know, away from the main family group.
Right, not so direct next of kin, really.
No, we arranged it so that bodies were re-prepared, brought back again for girlfriends, ex-partners or whatever, or even ex-wives, I don't know, so that they could see their loved ones as well. Now that was all a little logistical nightmare.
I know, Ben, from what you were saying earlier, that for you, this had been the first time you had actually had direct contact with death and dead bodies.
It was a
doubly demanding role.
Quite demanding, actually, Mike. And actually, seeing those bodies was quite demanding. But it's something I told myself I had to do. It was the right thing to do. But in the kind of context of the time, I was given what's called a debriefer. Who kind of came along and said, "Ben, are you all right?" Thing, you know, that kind of thing, really. I think it was my son's sports day, which is how I remember all of that. So I kind of came away, and I think I probably wasn't too bad. Now, there was a kind of theory prevalent at the time, Mike, that if you'd seen too many bodies, you'd be psychologically damaged. If you hadn't seen that many, it wouldn't be quite so bad. I don't quite know who kind of came up with this theory. But it was decided I hadn't seen enough bodies to be psychologically damaged, therefore I wouldn't have to kind of be given further counselling.
But the people that you took to identify,
yeah,
by and large, were they in control of their emotions? Was there much hysteria?
There was a little bit of hysteria. I think hysteria isn't the word. It was just genuine grief, shock, weeping. Each family group must have been about 9 or 10 people, actually. But I recall that, you know, when we'd been over to the mortuary, people didn't really want to stay around particularly. They didn't want all this tea and sympathy and the padre and whatever. They just wanted to go down the pub. I mean, I think it's worth saying that I wondered a bit about whether we should have done more and about whether we should have kind of retained people back at the Buckland. But it seemed a fairly natural response that that, you know, people wanted to go away, that was their right thing to do. But the one thing that bothered me in the official services was what did or didn't happen afterwards. Now, I became aware, and in fact other people became aware, that actually there was quite a few people who were going to be quite traumatised, who needed some help through this whole process. No doubt about it. We became aware of them. My frustration with Kent County Council was that at the time they put a lot of energy into supporting people from the Herald of Free Enterprise unit. I think the managers at the time had decided that enough was enough, and they therefore didn't fund anything, any kind of psychological support for the people after the disaster. And I had to work very, very hard to get some form of counselling service for people who were affected. They could have been mothers, grandmothers, people who were around or whatever. Eventually I managed to negotiate a service back at Trinity Church, not far from here, managed to negotiate some funding for a counsellor to come in to provide that support for them. But it was hard. And I was annoyed with Kent County Council, because having kind of done this whole flurry of, you know, all this work for the Herald of Free Enterprise, I said, look, hang on a moment, we've got something in deal here. We actually need something about the same. It was almost as if the managers at the time didn't want to know.